The final frontier begins.
This is about saving the future of humanity.
This is a huge victory for the good guys.
You've never seen Voyager.
Commitment to this course of action is not emotional.
Study! Beam us up.
Welcome to another episode of Beam Me Up, a Star Trek podcast. I am Brent Allen, your host, and I have seen every episode of Star Trek 47 times.
And I'm Matt Sonnenberg, and this is my first time through the series.
And this is the show where we are on a mission to introduce people to the Star Trek universe, or in today's case, multiverse. By watching the most important episodes that deal with the lore, the history, and the timeless message that is Star Trek.
And today, I would like to tell you that we're thinking about building a website. It's something I've been thinking about for a long time, and maybe we'll get around to it sometime. Brent, what should we call that site?
I think we should call it upmebeam.mock.
I'm on board. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go with that one. Today's episode is the 23rd episode of season 2 of Deep Space Nine, entitled Overcross. Crossover. Hey, let's switch all that stuff around. Beamyuppod.com. Today's episode is entitled Crossover, or as I like to call it, the one where we found out what happened to Goatee Spock. In case you guys don't remember or didn't watch this one first, in this episode, Kira and Dr. Bashir are experiencing a blip while they travel through the wormhole, and they wind up in the same mirror universe that Kirk did, and we found out what happened after Kirk left, for better or for worse. Now, Matt, before we get into the recap of this episode, you sent me a text message while you were watching this episode. Mm-hmm. So give us your we're going to go through the individual details here in just a few minutes, but kind of overall thoughts on the episode, those immediate reactions that you had while watching this particular episode.
So anyone that's been listening to the show for a while should know that I have a very, very short-term memory. And so things that have connections to past episodes, I don't always make that connection right away. So I was watching through this and I'm like, oh, wow, alternate reality. This could be fun.
That was the first text Matt sent me. Yeah. Hey, this is an alternate reality episode. Cool.
And then we get a little farther in and as you like to refer to her now, Mirror Kira. Uh-huh. At the time, I was still calling her like alternate Kira or what's the
intendant
term you use?
Intendant.
Yeah. Intendant Kira. Yeah. I used a lot of in my notes, but Mirror Kira kindly explains to us that, hey, this has happened before. What do you know? Ever heard of this guy named Kirk? Sure. I have. Regular Kira hasn't, but okay. Who knew? Apparently we've done this before, and this is a journey back two series later, where we're going to dive into this alternate / mirror universe again.
All right. We definitely are. This has been a long time coming. Think about where we are in this, Matt. Mm-hmm. Mirror, which was the title of the first episode where they went into this. What just so you know, is actually now called the Mirror Universe, mostly because of that Mirror episode, right?
It makes sense. I mean, I struggled to call it like alternate universe and alternate this person, alternate that person. Yep. I like the Mirror a lot better.
And we tend to refer to people from the Mirror Universe as Mirror Spock, Mirror Kira, Mirror Bashir, Mirror whatever within the fandom.
No Mirror Bashir, at least not that I know of.
I was just naming people.
Uh-huh.
So anyway,
we didn't run into him.
We may or may not talk about that. Anyway, but we refer to those guys as Mirror so-and-so by their character. Now, you already mentioned Kira's intendant, so we may call her also intendant Kira.
Yes.
Just because I think those are all certainly interchangeable, but this has been a long time because we have gone nearly 7 seasons of Next Generation. We did 2 more seasons of TOS. We did the animated series. We've done 6 movies, and we're here at the end of season 2 of Deep Space Nine, and we finally come back to the Mirror Universe. They finally give us a direct sequel to that that particular episode. Now, Matt, for me personally, I always love when new Trek, and for you, this is still new Trek, goes back and revisits old Trek. That said, when I personally first watched this, I had not yet seen Mirror Mirror because I hadn't watched TOS first, like the way I watched it. Okay. So I didn't have that as a frame of reference, kind of like you apparently watching this episode. So for me, I remember watching it. It was just sort of a weird parallel universe story that I didn't really understand the significance of yet. Mm-hmm. The more that I've like understood about the world of Star Trek and the more I've watched it here over the last 20 some odd years now, like I really get it. And this is the idea that we're returning to the mirror universe is a major thing. And what's happened in the mirror universe is something to track through. So, I don't have any character actor spotlights for today because this was a bottle episode. Like we didn't have any extra special guests, but I will tell you about a potential special guest before we move on.
Okay.
Originally slated to be in this particular episode. You remember, so the history is you had the evil Terran Empire, which was ruled by Mirror Kirk and Mirror Spock and all those guys that were just wreaking havoc all over everything. They wound up doing away with Mirror Kirk and Mirror Spock got set up and our Kirk gave like this really cool speech at the very end, just before he dipped out of the mirror universe, saying go be better. And so after that, like the question is, what happened to that Spock? Like what kind of an influence did that have? And turns out it had a big influence. Mirror Spock went in, implemented a bunch of changes, you know, and as Intendant Kira told us, basically the Empire sort of fell apart and this vacuum was created and this new alliance like formed, and this alliance of Cardassians, Klingons, Bajorans are a part of that as well. So as a little special thing with the Klingons now being in control, Worf was actually slated to be in this episode, right? Mirror Worf was going to be in this episode. And his role was actually going to be the role that Garak played.
Ooh.
But Michael Dorn was busy shooting the series finale of Next Generation and couldn't get him to come over, like, because he was busy ending that particular show. So they basically took all of his lines, gave them to Garak. Now Garak was also supposed to be there, so they took all of what would have been Garak's lines and created this new like little side character and gave them to that side character.
Okay.
So it sort of shifted that way. Yeah. So the other thing, like, let's just sort of talk about the background of this episode, because this isn't the first time we've had a direct sequel of an episode, but this is the first time like we have gone this far forward and had a callback all the way to the original series.
Yeah.
Like a direct thing. So just a little background, just so you know, as we get into this, according to Michael Piller, they had actually pitched Mirror Mirror sequels since the very beginning of Next Generation, but they never really were interested in going back to the mirror universe. Like they just, nothing ever really stuck with them, but still it always had this underlying curiosity that Michael Piller really kind of wanted to know what happened after Kirk gave Spock that big speech at the end of that episode. It wasn't until Ira Stephen Bear, whom you now know, who actually suggested, what if what Kirk did actually screwed things up? Right. And what if the Terran Empire turned into this much more gentle empire and then they were overtaken by this bigger, badder empire to fill the void? Now, one of the show writers, which maybe I could have done a spotlight on him, but today wasn't the day to do it. Robert Hewitt Wolf, who's one of the big writers here, especially in the early seasons of Deep Space Nine. He is the one who wrote the fall of the Terran Empire as an allegory to what happened with the Romans and the barbarians. He sort of took that as a template, he also had in his mind the Chinese versus the Mongols, like when the Chinese Empire fell to the Mongols. And basically what he said was, my analogy was to the Roman Empire. They were as brutal and as nasty as they were because they had to be, because they had all these very aggressive barbarians around them that they were frankly scared of. Chinese had the same thing with the Mongols. But if you suddenly make the Romans the nice guys, then the barbarians just march in and take over. And that was sort of his idea for what had happened over the last 100 years in the mirror universe. And that's how they wrote it. That's how they came to do this. Now with that, I'm going to save the rest of my production notes, because that sort of gets you this is where they started, and none of that's going to come up in the midst of our conversation. So that'll get you started. Yeah, go ahead.
You got me thinking a little bit earlier when you were talking about when your first watch through, you didn't even see Mirror Mirror before this.
Correct.
And I kind of wonder, when this first aired, how many people were in your shoes as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good, what do we say, 30 years removed from the original.
Mm-hmm.
And so
25. Yeah.
You might have some folks who saw the original series and mm-hmm. then continued watching. But then you always tell me like, well, they kept saying, well, this new Trek isn't my Trek. This is new Trek isn't real Trek. And so were the people who were watching the original, watching the new stuff, and did the people who were just coming into Star Trek and watching the new stuff, have they gone back and watched the old stuff? Like, I think there's a very good chance that even in first run, not a lot of people had seen both episodes.
Sure. I think you're 100% right. And the writers did exactly what they needed to do. And basically, hey, Intendant Kara is going to give you a little exposition and say, okay, here's what you need to know. Now we can move on with our episode.
Now go buy our,
and she did that.
VHS season six of, or whatever season it was of season TOS. One. There was no season six, actually.
There was not. Hey, 10 points to you for knowing that.
Yeah, it's because it's weird.
Yeah, yeah. They had as many episodes as they could for a six season if they needed to, though. Anyway, Matt, do you remember when you were doing your Harry Potter podcast?
Yes. And
when you guys were, because you were in my shoes doing that show, you had another person who never read the books. Yeah. You guys were going through the books. For anybody, Tales from Dodger's Hollow, you guys go check it out. It's still going. New hosts over there, but it's very good. And sometimes Matt's still involved. Sometimes I'm still involved, but usually you more than me. Every time you guys would start a new book, especially through the first handful, your co-host would always get so miffed and like jacked up, like, because there was basically this big series of exposition of, okay, here's what happened in the last book that you need to know for this book to move forward. Like, and that very much happens. You can tell that in the second Harry Potter book, third Harry Potter book, and even the fourth Harry Potter book, it sort of stops after that because I think the series,
he would have disagreed, but yeah.
Okay.
Really? I feel like he complained about every book. There would be one little line. Yeah. It's like, he was an orphan. He lived under the cupboard or something. Like, we all know that. Dude, but just let it go.
Right. But I mean, I think that same thing applies here, right? Like we have to have a little bit of exposition for people who didn't see that first episode.
Exactly.
Right.
Thought it was valid. I
100% think it's valid.
Yeah. There was enough in there. Then for the number of people I heard that came in and started either reading a book at not the first book for mm-hmm. whatever reason, which I could never do, mm-hmm. is, you know, they started reading with the third book, or they started watching with the sixth movie. Mm-hmm. Like, you need that background. And yeah, it's the same thing here with Star mm-hmm. Trek. It's like, someone might just sit down and watch this episode, and it's like, you need that background.
Yeah. Except they do everything in this episode that you need them to do to be able to move forward. Mm-hmm. But it changes it if you've had that background, or it adds to it. Let's put it that way. Like, you can, sure, you can enjoy this episode not having watched any of that and move forward and be just fine. But having that sort of background, you get it even more so. So anyway, that's certainly, and hey, listen, I'll take this opportunity for anyone out there who is listening. And if this is your first time going through the series, what did you think about when you first realized that this was a sequel to that TOS episode, Mirror Mirror? Did you even realize it? Did you connect the dots? Or did you watch this episode without having watched Mirror Mirror first, and you were confused, or you didn't know or realize or anything? Like, whatever your first response was to this particular episode, go over to beammeuppod.com, find our contact information, and email us, or leave us a voicemail, or how, there's multiple ways to contact us. Would love to know what your thoughts were the first time you saw this particular episode and knew or didn't know that it was a sequel to something that had happened way back in the original series. With that said, Matt, why don't we go ahead and go through this episode, Crossover? I have a feeling you're going to point out quite a bit of stuff. I don't know. I haven't seen your notes yet, so we'll see as we go through. And I'll do my best to answer as many questions as I can without spoiling too much other stuff.
Okay. I know I have a few off-the-wall questions, and some won't be pertinent to the story at all, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
All right. Well, with that, prologue, Dr. Bashir and Kira are returning home from the Gamma Quadrant, which, hey, Matt, by the way, I just like to point out, they're in the Gamma Quadrant coming home.
Yep.
They're there. Yep. Anyway, and Dr. Bashir is being weird with some classic pillar filler. While flying through the wormhole, there's an incident, but when they arrive back at Deep Space Nine, they find it missing. Well, it turns out it's actually back all the way at Bajor, when suddenly they're boarded by the Klingons. But as soon as the Klingons get a good look at Kira, they back away. Back on the station, Garak is leading the Klingons, and a second silver-clad Kira comes around the corner asking, "Who are you?"
Well done. Good reference. Anyway, I felt the opening dialogue here was a lot more important. It felt a lot more important than a lot of the dialogue we usually get. Like the last episode we just talked about, like they're talking about Cardassian literature.
Right.
Like, okay, yeah, that's not really going to come back. But you keep telling me like how important the positioning of the station is, how important Bajor is, how important this relationship and the border and all this stuff going on. And so when I find out like they opened a new hospital on New Bajor, which is the first Bajoran colony in the Gamma Quadrant, I'm like, that seems important. That seems like something we should know. This doesn't seem like opening material. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting that they just kind of tossed that in there and then just left it for the rest of the episode. Like it was just the opening sequence. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess it's something they can build on later if they want.
If they want to, sure.
Yeah.
Please, Matt, please talk to me for a moment about Dr. Bashir not being able to shut up.
Are you sure you can't read my notes right now? I literally have a note that says Bashir just doesn't shut up. And I'm like, I've only met Bashir a few times and we just had a whole lot of him last episode and he wasn't that talkative then. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, and he like can't take a clue.
No.
I'm like, I want to meditate. How do we do it? Quietly. I'm still going to talk at you.
I'm going to make weird breathing sounds.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, what about that is quiet, Bashir? It's not. Julian.
Julian Subatol Bashir.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, I was curious what kind of music he listens to, and then we get to hear some of it a little bit, but he plays, like, the Bajoran music for Kira.
Sure.
And I'm like, I you may listen to this sometimes, but I don't think that's what you would have turned on. I want to know what you would have turned on, Bashir.
Oh, Bashir totally would turn on 80s rock. 80s okay. Classic ballad.
That's the trouble. It is, like, when we get into very, like, cultural things like that, they always seem to use things that we know now or things that we know when they created the show. And it's like, yeah, oh yeah, I love this historical stuff from the 80s and
from the late 20th century.
Yeah. Yes. And so it's nothing like super surprising. And so I want to know, give me what you think music sounds like 400 years from now. Give me an impression of that. I don't care if it's good or bad. I want to know what you, the writers, think. Or you, the composer of this episode, thinks it's going to sound like. Give me something. Just 10 seconds. It doesn't need to be a lot. It can be really bad and annoy Kira and we'll turn it off. Okay.
Gosh, can you imagine? I mean, think about where music is today.
I know. I think it's going down the drain.
Well, no, but go back 400 years. So we're talking better than 1620. All right. We're talking chamber music. All right. We're a little past Gregorian chant, but we're still talking, you know,
if it ain't Baroque, don't fix it.
Exactly. Right. From there to here is pretty phenomenal. Really, where could it go in the next 400 years? Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, what instrument? I mean, we have instruments now.
In the dark with all the technology 400 years from now and how civilization lives 400 years from now. Yeah. Take a stab at the music.
Yeah. And I mean, the instruments we have today did not exist then.
Not in their current form.
No,
maybe.
I mean, not the popular instruments. Let's put it that way. Like you did not have a drum kit. You did not have electric guitar.
But you had a drum.
Right. That had since evolved.
Stringed instruments.
Yeah, that is not true.
An electric guitar. No,
that is true. You had a piano, but you didn't have a keyboard that was capable of any kind of synthesizer or whatever you wanted. So that's what I mean. Like take the drum kit now and evolve that 400 years and the keys and evolve that 400 years and see what that sounds like. That's an interesting thought, Matt. Interesting thought.
Okay. Couple other questions quick.
Okay.
Bashir asks Kira if she wants to go to dinner and she obviously interprets that the way everybody else interprets that. And she says something like, better stick to Dax.
Yes.
Did I miss something?
Yes, you have. Okay, let me explain that. I'm glad you asked that. So Bashir I mean, really all the boys on the station. Quark is included in this. Bashir is included in this. Not O'Brien. He's married. Not Sisko. He's the captain. Who? There's one more. I mean, I guess it's really those two guys.
I mean, Odo?
No, not really Odo. No, Odo's kind of the, I don't understand human need for mating.
Yeah, I didn't think he would fall into that category. Right.
But they...
Other characters I know.
There's this sort of underlying thing that like everybody's got a thing for Dax.
Okay.
But Bashir is also like constantly trying to like get people to go out on dates with him. Like he's just like Riker, except way less successful.
Okay.
Like Bashir is me in high school. Like he's constantly trying. He's just not having any luck.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's, and when I talk about, if you remember last week, I think I talked a little bit about how, especially in the first season and a half or two, Bashir was kind of creepy. Bashir was kind of, he was always like, whatever. So it's not a constant, like in your face kind of a thing, but this is certainly, it's kind of a callback to that. Like, you know, has Bashir changed his sights or, oh, no, just stick to Dax. He's like, oh, no, I didn't mean that. Just, you know, as colleagues. Which, can I point something out here? I don't know if you remember this or not, but it was during the filming of the show. And at this point, Nana Visitor, who plays Kira, and Alexander Siddig, who plays Dr. Bashir, are dating and get married and have their first child together.
Okay.
They'd first kept it secret from the cast and crew, but then obviously everybody finds out. And
of course.
And so they write this particular scene between Kira and Bashir where he like asks her out on a date and she like way turns him down.
Yeah. That's good. That's
it's
good.
It's a funny scene when you think about it through that lens of their off-screen relationship between the actors.
I think that's about all I have questions wise for this. Because then we just jump right into it. It's like,
yeah,
something's wrong here. They went through the wormhole. They're having problems. Obviously, yeah, something came out the other end. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to know about the wormhole at all. Right. Just appeared out of nowhere. I'm like, you appear out of nowhere all the time. You have cloaking devices. But it's...
Well, not the Federation, but...
Yes. But no, I mean, like, the Klingons were saying, like, you appeared out of nowhere. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, that should be normal for you guys. Don't worry about it.
Right.
It's... When I heard that the station was orbiting Bajor again, I'm like, okay, so that's back to its original position before they moved it to the wormhole, right?
I'm glad that stuck in your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for an instant, well, for this time before the break here, I just assumed like, okay, maybe they went back in time or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that still didn't explain why they were all like, oh, didn't realize you, talking to Kira, were mm-hmm. here. Didn't realize you had left the station. I'm like, okay, that's a twist. Please explain.
Uh-huh. And they did, sort of, eventually.
After the break.
Speaking of the break, Act One. Welcome to Terok Nor, center of authority for the Bajoran sector. There's something called the Alliance, whatever that is. Bashir is called a Terran, and the silver-clad Kira says she thinks she knows exactly who they are. Down in the ore processing plant, O'Brien and Odo are both there. Also, they're a little out of character as well. Back up in the office, the two Kiras are meeting. Silver-clad Kira begins to tell us about the incident with Kirk in the Mirror Universe and leaving Mirror Spock with the idea to do something good. Well, it turns out that Kirk left, Spock did good, made some reforms, but it weakened the Empire and they eventually fell to the alliance of Klingons and Cardassians and of Bajor. Unfortunately, Silver Kira, or as we'll now call her, Mirror Kira, doesn't really know how to send them back. And she's also supposed to kill anyone who comes over. So that's fun. But fortunately for our Kira, she isn't so inclined to do that. And our Kira is able to silver tongue her way out of this predicament by manipulating, well, herself.
So I was happy to find out that we weren't supposed to know what the alliance was. Because mm-hmm. I was racking my brain at that point. I'm like, man, I feel like this is something I should know. But mm-hmm. I don't know. So we'll just deal with it. As I do with most things that I just don't remember.
That's the point where you texted me for the second time.
It's interesting that a lot of these characters, the mirror versions have the same characteristics for the most part,
mm-hmm.
but they just have a different like status in mm-hmm. this universe.
Right.
And so they, which actually makes me wonder to some extent, because like both the Kiras seem pretty even keeled. Like they were both on their game. And like, you can tell, like, O'Brien, like, he should be an engineer, but just given the circumstances, like, that wasn't an option for him.
Right.
And so that's starting to make me wonder now. I'm just thinking about this now, actually, when we get down to Cisco, I'll have to revisit that.
Okay.
Cause that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Cause Quark still seemed the same.
Really?
I mean, for the most part, he wasn't as actively dealing, like making deals behind the scenes and stuff.
Right.
But he was very open to it.
Sure.
He was helping people escape behind the scenes.
He was doing Quark things, but for the right reasons this time.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, he's still doing the same things. It's just in a different setting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the whole idea, right? Like, Kira said it at some point, the players are all the same.
Yes.
They're just in a little bit of a different position or something, whatever mm-hmm. she said is different. So,
we get to see like Garak being a little more Cardassian than he is on the station right now.
Right. Maybe Garak when he was actually in the Obsidian Order. Garak,
he was a Gull. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. just in the Obsidian Order.
Or both. We see, I think, a little more of what Odo would like to do.
Yes. Yes, that's astute. This is Odo Unchained.
Yes.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it looks like we are
I'm sorry, Matt. That needs to be a t-shirt. We need a picture of Mirror Universe Odo. And the thing is just Odo Unchained.
I'm on board.
That's a t-shirt right there.
I'll wear that.
We need to actually start putting these t-shirts up on a website, Matt.
I will look into that. Unfortunately, though, it looks like we will not ever get to learn all of Odo's rules of obedience.
It is true.
We only learn number 14. No jokes.
I love that they brought in a rules of acquisition style
exactly.
reference.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I felt too. That's exactly what they were doing. Yeah. And they're like, okay, I get that. I get that.
I see what you're going. I see where you're doing that. Yeah. Real quick about Odo, just while you're talking about him, Mirror Odo's costume is the first time he's ever actually had a belt and a collar on his costume. Mm. And Renee liked that so much that he had them begin to incorporate that into his regular costume going forward with Odo, like regular Odo moving forward. So,
okay. Then Mirror Kira starts to explain this stuff. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I was a little surprised when she's like, do you know a guy named Kirk? And Kira says no. And I wasn't sure if she was serious or not, because I felt like, okay, she's not Federation. She hasn't like gone to the academy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those, like I've always said, it feels like everybody knows the captain of the Enterprise.
Sure.
And so it feels weird that she wouldn't know the name Kirk, even if it was 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, it just felt weird. And so I wasn't sure if she was, you know, trying to play cool. And it's like, no, tell me more about this Kirk, and wanted to see what this Mirror Kira knew, or if she legitimately didn't know. And I mean, we find out later when she's asking Bashir about it, it's apparently she didn't know. But yeah, that just seemed really weird to me that she wouldn't. It makes more sense for the story that she doesn't know, and then she can talk to Bashir and he has some knowledge of it. Okay, fine. I get that, but it just felt weird. So then, yeah, Mirror Kira explains what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I made notes of that, which of course is the plot of Mirror Mirror, as we talked about.
Right.
And now they've decided that, in theory, they've decided that anyone who crosses over again would be promptly disposed of. Mm-hmm. Well, Mirror Kira is not doing too good of a job at promptly disposing of anybody.
Right.
So we'll see where this takes us.
Speaking of taking us, let's move on. Act number two, Kira goes to check on Bashir down in ore processing. She explains to him that they're in the Mirror Universe, which Bashir accepts without a second thought. But hey, we got a plot we got to get to, so no time for any of that. They're going to talk with Mirror O'Brien and see if he can rig the transporters to send them home like it did to Kirk. Kira's next stop is Mirror Quark's, but their conversation is cut short when Mirror Garak and his henchmen arrive, accusing Quark of helping the Terrans escape off the station. As he's dragged away, a rapscallion Sisko walks in and helps himself to a drink from behind the bar. This is Sisko as a pirate, like literally a pirate, which buys him some leeway with the intendant, meaning Kira. But it also gives him a certain amount of priority, enough to pull Mirror Smiley O'Brien off of whatever he's doing to go fix his old pirate ship.
get the idea that's part of the reason why Smiley doesn't have to work the mines like everybody else, is that he has some favor, like he has the skills that the higher ups need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We actually have to keep the thing going. He can do that. So let's give that to him.
He can fix the ore processors. He can fix the ships. So yeah. Yeah. We should keep him around.
Right.
It's like you kind of already talked about Quark doing Quark things, trying to be better about it, but still doing Quark things, shady deals behind the scenes. But of course he gets caught. It's the mirror universe. It's what's going to happen, I guess.
Right.
Everything's the same, but different. But this Sisko, okay. This is the first time we get to see him. So I might as well talk about it now. Mm-hmm. But as I was talking about, like everybody else is
their same self, just in a different spot,
in a different situation.
Yeah.
It really made me wonder about the Sisko that we know, because I feel this one was a little further off than some of the other characters.
That's probably fair. Yeah.
Like he's hiding what his true self back in the real universe that we know. Does that make sense?
I think you're spot on, Matt, and this may be jumping the gun a little bit, but hey, we've done that a few times here on Beam Me Up before, so let's go ahead and do it again. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to the end of the episode.
Yeah.
When Mirror Sisko actually helps Kira and Bashir escape.
Yeah.
And there's this line where, I mean, you know, at that point, like they take Smiley O'Brien and his crew and they're going to go off and they're going to kind of become this renegade faction that have now added themselves. I mean, they've done what they needed to do so far to survive, but now they're going to go. Basically, it's kind of what happened with Kirk and Spock, only now it's happening with Kira and Mirror Sisko. Like she's calling him out of who this is, because that's not who Sisko is. She says at some point, my Sisko, the Sisko in my universe isn't like this. So I know it's not in you. This is not who you really are. He pulls it out and Sisko actually becomes whatever the mirror version of himself truly is, you know? Mm-hmm. And I better stop there speaking, because that's as far as we've gotten the story so far.
Sure.
But I think your instincts are right. He is, so at this point in the story, he is less than who he is. He is not the real quote unquote, like whatever part of your true self is in you that exists across all the multiple universes that are out there. This Sisko is not acting on that particular true self. Whereas like O'Brien definitely is. Odo certainly looks like he is. Maybe even Kira is. Garrick is, you know, but Sisko isn't. Like there's something off about that particular Sisko. And, you know, maybe is that the Star Trek lesson there, Matt? Like the universe goes to crap when you're not who you're really meant to be.
Sure.
And you better start acting like it, because it's actually better for the universe if you are who you are supposed to be.
That could be something.
Mm.
Might be a bit of a stretch, but it could be something. Mm.
That's why everybody needs to watch Star Trek, Matt.
Mm-hmm. They make you wonder.
There you go.
But Garrick has a plan now. And I was surprised at how deep this plan went.
Wait. Have you jumped to the next act?
No, I don't think so. Did I miss
it? Yeah. Have you? Yeah. Because that's not till act three, which let me go ahead and do that. Stop your, let me read act three, cause it's real short, and have that, the rest of that conversation with where you're going.
All right.
Act three, Mirror Kira wants to know what's up with our Kira, asking around about the transporters. And more importantly, she wants to know why our Kira doesn't trust her. What Mirror Kira really wants is our Kira's love. No, not that kind of love. That kind of love. Which makes the perfect time for Mirror Garrick to enact his plan to replace Intendant Kira with our Kira. And within a few weeks, she will step down and hand over the intendantship to Garrick himself. And if she doesn't cooperate, they're just going to kill Bashir. That's the plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a whole thing. And yeah, I think I maybe got sucked up into the story here, because my notes. Yeah, I do not. I have like the intro plus three acts, I think, marked on here. All right. Which,
yeah,
awesome. So I'm a little bit off in my notes, it's but okay. You'll keep me on track. So yeah, Garrick's plan. I was surprised how deep it kind of went. Like it wasn't just kill Kira and mutiny. It's kill Kira, replace her. Don't tell anyone. Tell her that, you know, I am the intendant, and the other Kira found a way out of here. So she's gone, but I'm going to step down now and Garrick's going to take over. And like, wow. Okay. You've thought about this for a little while.
Yeah. That's a power play. Yeah.
That's one way to go about. Like it seemed like it legitimately could work, assuming that he could get away with the first part of killing Kira.
Sure.
But that remains to be seen, I guess.
That definitely remains to be seen. Act four. Well, no, let's go back. Talking about Mirror Kira, Intendant Kira. Mm-hmm. After this episode aired, there was a big to do like in the fandom. And this happens every time something like this happens in Star Trek. But there was a big to do about how sexy Intendant Kira was and how revealing her costume was. Right. But the costume designer, and I'm sorry, I didn't write down that person's name, but the costume designer actually says, if you actually look at it, it's no more revealing than any of Kira's other outfits that we've ever put her in. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that Nana Visitor was playing this role so seductively that left that indelible impression upon you that something was happening here. And people were like, oh, they're just trying to sex it up or something like that. But that was,
yeah,
that was
I wouldn't have said it's any more revealing or anything like that. I mean, it's still this giant jumpsuit. Yeah, it's shinier.
Uh-huh.
But like, I would agree. It's the way she played the role. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I think I appreciated Mirror Kira's performance better than
regular Kira. Normal
Kira. But you know, I don't really care for Kira in the first place. So,
you know, I get it. I keep wondering when you're just going to forget about that and just accept her for who she is, Matt. And we'll see. There's a lot of Deep Space Nine left to go. Mm-hmm. Act four. Kira gives Bashir a heads up as to what's happening and plans to get off the station and leave before any of Garak's plans can go into effect. She next tries to recruit Mirror Sisko to help, but to help by saving Mira Kira's life. This quickly turns into the Kirk/Mirror Spock conversation where she calls Sisko to be better and to make a difference, which apparently had a major effect. Back in ore processing, Bashir takes advantage of an incident and makes his escape, killing Mirror Odo in the processing plant.
Really? Really? That was a stretch. Oh.
Sorry, the dad joke is strong with me today, or at least when I was writing this.
Yeah.
But it was there.
So this was a huge surprise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, especially that they showed it. Like, they literally showed Odo, like, blowing up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Now, part of me started to wonder, he's a shapeshifter.
Uh-huh.
Can you do that to him? Or can he come back together and congeal again? Like, is he, like, because the fact that he did explode like that, I've never really seen that. But we don't usually see, you know, phaser set to kill or whatever.
Well, you know what we have seen, though? When somebody shoots a phaser at
Odo. At a rock?
Or a rock. Like, he sees it coming, and, like, he just opens up a hole in the middle of his thing, and it passes through him. Mm. So what would happen if Odo didn't see it coming, and it actually hit whatever his body is?
I still wonder if it can come back. I mean, I don't know that much about Odo.
Yeah.
I mean, they keep saying he's the only one of his kind. They even made a point of that here. Uh-huh. Like, he's the only one of his kind that we know of. And so we don't really know that much about him.
Right.
So I think that's still out there as an option if they really wanted to. Mm-hmm. But especially since they made a big point of, boom, he blew up.
Yeah.
Not just like, cool effect,
by the way.
He's injured. Yeah. It was. They don't get to use it too often because they don't. I mean, everybody gets stunned. They don't kill people that often. Mm-hmm. And when they do, they stab them. That's the only way they die.
Right. I like in another star show, Stargate SG-1, they have their own like little zapper thing. And they come up with this thing of one shot stuns you, two shots kills you, three shots gets you, like, disintegrates your body. And it's basically like they talk about it later, like in the show, as they're kind of making fun of themselves because it's a very self-aware show. Uh-huh. They're like, yeah, basically we just needed a way to get rid of all the bodies hanging around the set. Like, so you're not walking ankle deep through a pool of dead bodies sometimes. Like, this is a way we'll get rid of everybody, is to make them disintegrate real quick.
I like it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think this is kind of our big action sequence before we need to settle down, discuss some things, and wrap up a story.
There you go. Well, let's do that. Act five. During his escape, Bashir runs into Smiley O'Brien and convinces him to help on the condition that Smiley gets to go back through to the other side with this Bashir. It's a short-lived plan, though, as they're caught and then they're taken to the Intendant during a party where the whole cast is present. Mira Kira goes all Daenerys Targaryen on and orders death threats on everybody. That is until Mirror Sisko intervenes and springs them from the pokey, sending them back home adding Smiley O'Brien to his crew of newly minted renegades. Kira and Bashir get away, get back to their side of the looking glass, and go home, where Deep Space Nine is back in its proper place at the mouth of the wormhole. And what happens to the rest of the people there in the Mirror Universe? Well, it might take another two series and 400 episodes to find out. The end.
Yeah, pretty quick ending there. It's, I mean, they do have a little bit of exposition in there to wrap things up and try to make you wonder, oh, what might happen? But put all the pieces together, it makes sense where they're going with it. So one thing I didn't understand, why were the Kiras wearing the same dress?
Yeah, like, I think really? I think they only had like the headband that was a little bit different.
Yeah. And Mirror Kira had a comm badge, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. My interpretation of that, cause I noticed the same thing, is keep in mind, Mirror Kira really like loved the idea of herself being here and was very much in love with herself in every way that you can take that phrase to mean. Mm-hmm. So I've always just interpreted it like, this is the dress that Kira is wearing, and she ordered our Kira to be in the same dress. Like, that was kind of this is the dress you will wear kind of a thing. We've never seen it. They never actually explained it. And I've never seen a note anywhere saying why it was like that, but I've noticed the same thing. And that's the interpretation that I put on top of it. Unless I missed it.
I can see that. No, I can see that. You're right. They had that conversation. It was with our Kira and Garrick, I think, when they were talking about the mutiny, and he's like, what do you give someone who already has everything? Well, you give her herself, and she gets more of herself. And it's like, that's an interesting concept there. And I think you're right then, that plays into this ending sequence too, where, yeah, she's getting more of herself and she wants to see her as her, what she considers her best self.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, she's, well, maybe this is something too. Like, she's looking into a mirror.
There you go.
There
you go. I like it.
Interesting.
Yep. And you got to think, like, from Garrick's position for his plan, that makes switching the two a whole lot easier.
It did.
I mean, and we're getting into like a little data lore type thing. Well, yeah, but I mean, you knock her out, pull her headband off, grab her comm badge, and away you go.
Yeah.
You know, because their hairstyle is the same too, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, that wraps it up pretty quickly. So everything's back in place, like you said, and no real big to do about. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Sisko asks, where have you been? Through the looking glass, sir.
Right. You catch that reference?
I did. It was the same reference he used at the beginning of the show.
Was it? They said that at the beginning of the show?
It was, you gave me a, who are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes. But she actually said through the looking glass, like Kira said that, right?
She literally said it. Yes. But
do you know, like in literature, like in real life, where that reference comes from? I mean, obviously you have to know the, who are you?
It's Alice in Wonderland.
Right.
And then Alice through the looking glass.
The fact that Major Kira knows to reference Alice in Wonderland.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah.
I touched on it a little bit with the music thing, but this is another perfect example. It's like whenever they give us references of stuff, it's like stuff from our generation, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, there's another one of these in, I want to say it was Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, where a Klingon takes like an old Shakespearean quote. And he's like, if you you should hear this in the original Klingon, like, wait a minute, that's from Shakespeare. Like, vengeance is a best dish best served cold, or I don't know, it's something like that. Something that we've all heard 1,000 times over. But yeah, it's, she says that. I get it.
Well, that's something Chekhov would always try to do too, right?
Well, Chekhov, everything was made in Russia.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland. It's a good Russian fairy tale.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was stuff that we knew.
Right.
That had a different origin, but it's like, no, it was Russian.
Yeah.
Right. Sure did.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. And then we've kind of already talked about the parallel with Kira and Sisko, Mirror Sisko, talking the way that Kirk and Mirror Spock did. Mm-hmm. And we'll see where this goes. So, all right, Matt, well, with that, we'll wrap this up. One quick note, one final note from me. Jake was not in this episode, does not appear. Now, Jake is the character who doesn't appear in most episodes throughout all of Deep Space Nine. He is still part of the main cast, though, but he does not appear in this episode. We are just missing him. I promise you, Jake is around. We're just missing him in the episodes we're watching. That's all it is. Sure. And Jake will have a very big role to continue to play moving forward. So don't think we've lost him. However, I just want you to know Jake doesn't appear in this episode because it is later revealed that Jake was never born in the Mirror Universe, which makes him the only known Star Trek character to be known to not have a Mirror Universe counterpart. Now, we can't corroborate every single Star Trek character that's out there, but yes, he's the only one that we know for a fact does not have a Mirror Universe counterpart.
Okay, but that leads me back to what I was asking in the beginning,
which
what
is
about Bashir.
All right, Matt, well, I guess I should say this as we end this particular episode.
Mirror, Mirror, Part 3.
I don't mind telling you that from here on out, the Mirror Universe is a thing that will pop up from time to time. They will revisit this well, not infrequently.
Okay.
And so much so that some people go, did they go back to that too many times? Like, it was cool when they did it, and then when they did it again, but did they go back to it too many times? There is a whole list of episodes that deal with the Mirror Universe. In fact, that would be like a cool subset. Like, let's watch all the Mirror Universe episodes, everything that has to deal with the Mirror Universe. But that's not the task of this particular show, of this particular podcast. That being said, I don't know that we're going to go back to too many Mirror Universe episodes. All right. This is, in my opinion, not the best Mirror Universe episode that Deep Space Nine does. It's not the worst by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not the best. It's just, remember when I said, like, we have a main storyline we sort of have to stick to in order to get through this show? The Mirror Universe is not part of that particular main storyline. So I will always give you the Mirror Universe episodes an extra viewing. And if anybody would like to catch those extra viewing episodes that Matt actually chooses to watch, we will put those up on our Patreon page. You guys can check that out at patreon.com/beammeuppod, which, Matt, by the way, we owe an extra viewing episode to the folks over there at Patreon. So I promise you, I will at least let you know when they crop up, but I have to tell you that typically I would say, do you understand why this episode was part of our run? I will explain this one right now more than ask you to think about it. Basically, here's the thing. The Mirror Universe, that specific Mirror Universe, is now that it's more than just a one-off thing, it's something that comes up again and again. This is something you need to know is out there. It's not just a thing that happened in one episode way back when. So, like, if you go to conventions and stuff, like, you'll hear people talk about Mirror so-and-so, Mirror so-and-so. And to answer your question directly about Bashir, we do meet Mirror Bashir actually in the next Mirror Universe episode. Yeah. And you find out what's been going on with him and exactly what's happening with that over there. So I will let you know when we get to that spot. I do not know if that comes up in our run yet or not. Okay. We'll find out. But for the folks out there listening, coming up really soon for you guys, Matt, you're not allowed to listen to this. I have a very special guest who's going to be joining me where we're going to be going through episodes from season 3, deciding which ones to watch and which ones aren't. And that one is coming. It's going to be coming out to you guys here very, very soon because we're getting very close to season 3. And you guys will find out there if we're going to do the next Mirror Universe episode or not, because it crops up in season 3, Matt. That's why this episode is part, because you need to know the Mirror Universe is more than just a one-off thing. And this is the one that really starts the rest of all of those episodes and gets you going with the history of what happened between here and there. So, Matt, I will ask you the other part of this question. Did you like this episode, and is this one you'd want to watch again?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think alternate reality is good for me. So
sure.
Yeah. I'm usually on board with those episodes, I think.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I like this episode. Like I said, it's not my favorite of all the Mirror Universe episodes that I know are out there, but I like it. I just prefer others, if that makes sense. Like, I'm never skipping this one in a rewatch. Like, I'll watch this one every time, but, yeah. All right, Matt, would you like to know what we're watching next?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, the time has come for us to sign off on The Next Generation. So Matt, we are entering into our final two episodes with The Next Generation. We will be watching the penultimate episode next week, Preemptive Strike, and then we'll watch the finale the week after. Spoiler alert. With that being said, Matt, there are no extra viewing episodes this week for when we get back to Deep Space Nine. And that's really, I guess, going to do it for us this week here on Beam Me Up, a Star Trek podcast. Remember, if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can do that by emailing us to beammeuppod@gmail.com or head over to beammeuppod.com for more ways to get in contact with us, or go to upmebeam.mock and that might get you there as well. I don't know. Matt, tell the folks where they can get in touch with you or your mirror counterpart out there on the interwebs.
You can get a hold of me over on Twitter as a matter of Matt, or over on Instagram for my mirror account, also at as a matter of Matt.
That would be
some
fun.
Things don't change.
To have a mirror account. See you next time, guys. Live long and prosper.